Support for this program is brought to you by listeners like you. Thank you.
The Local Thread.
Welcome to A Moment of Truth. I'm Asia Nail, and today we're talking about something that doesn't always trend online, but it absolutely determines whether families thrive or struggle: life skills. Joining us today is Patrice Powers Barker with The Ohio State University Extension, and it's a community outreach arm of The Ohio State University serving families right here in Lucas County. Welcome.
Thank you.
So first, I would like to know more about you and about the Ohio State Extension.
First, we want everyone to know that there's extension in every state. So even our listeners in Michigan, there's Michigan State University, and in Ohio, we have OSU Extension. There's also Central State University Extension. So the whole idea when Extension was created is that we are here to bring knowledge and information to the community.
Yes, and you are local.
Yes. Okay. And so in Ohio, we're based in counties. So okay. A lot of our work, my work is right here in Lucas County, and then sometimes we do some partnering things with neighboring counties.
Okay. Well, now I know that a lot of people ask me, like, whatever happened to home economics and basic life skills, budgeting, nutrition, gardening, literacy, right? So I really wanted to know from you, what do you feel like is one life skill most adults really struggle with that does surprise you?
Well, I think that's an excellent question, because I think sometimes we get to adulthood and we think, oh my gosh, we should know this. And then sometimes maybe we feel embarrassed, or we feel like everybody knows how to do their budget or to get the meal on the table, or, you know, I've got this challenge with my child. How do I best, you know, encourage this? So it is not surprising that sometimes at different points, adults are coming to community education because they are at a point in life they need to learn more about a topic. So if it is a topic they've never learned or practiced on, or they're at a new life transition, they might be starting at the beginning.
Yes.
So I wouldn't say that there's necessarily a specific life skill, but I just really want to encourage adults that lifelong learning is incredibly valuable, because things change and we are at different points in life.
Yes, things always will change.
I mean, there certainly is research and surveys that show people don't feel confident with their cooking skills, or we know that people have a lot of money on their credit cards they're not paying down, or, you know, relationships with those in your house can be tense. So there's research that shows that people are struggling, and there's techniques and tools and knowledge that can help us do a little bit better.
Okay. So now, is this like, this is not a class, right? You actually go to the Extension office and you seek the information.
So it totally depends.
Okay.
Number one. So in our local Extension office, there's different content areas. So I'm here with the Family and Consumer Sciences that you know, historically was called Home Economics. We also have 4-H Youth Development, which has a lot of youth programs. And then we have Agriculture and Natural Resources. And in Lucas County, it's horticulture. So there literally is a horticulture hotline during the growing season that people can come into the office with, you know, an insect or a tree and get that identified and learn more.
Wow.
Or the 4-H Youth Development, it might be part of an after-school program, or it might be camp that they're going away to. One thing that people come into the office and might see me about is if they are canning and have a pressure canner and they want that tested to make sure the gauge is working correctly. So occasionally people come to the office, but much more frequently we are out partnering with organizations, and we are, you know, we're at libraries or community centers or houses of worship that we are offering education in addition to whatever that community program is.
Oh, wow. That's really awesome. That is very extensive. I love that it's so layered and multifaceted. So now I want to just put some solutions on the table, like what can families do today? So if someone wanted to strengthen their household just starting this month, what are three programs or classes that you would recommend that maybe they look into?
Well, we're probably going to just send people to our website so they can look and see what maybe best meets their needs, right?
Okay,
so
yes.
People are at different stages in life, different questions about things. So just a couple off the top of my head that I really love and want people to know exists. So we partner with a statewide program that's a first-time home buyer's education.
Oh.
So if someone's like, oh, I've been thinking about buying a home, I'm not sure if I'm really ready, I don't know what I might need to have in place, what are the options? We have a free online, it's a webinar, but it's live, that's taught almost every month. So if that's a stage people are at, it's a great opportunity. Another example that if somebody wanted to start today, and this is a hybrid program that it's online, it's called the Strong Couples Project. Mm. And we partner with some other state university extensions. And so this is for long-term committed relationships. You do not have to be married, but it's kind of geared towards a married couple. And there's online educational webinars they watch. And then they meet 5 times for like 20 minutes with a coach. And that coach is just helping them use the techniques on communication and goals and values and commitment. It is not therapy, it is education. So those are a couple examples. My colleagues are out in the community teaching nutrition. We have a program called WITS Workout that is an in-person class, and that'll be at Oregon Branch Library in the spring. That you hear the word workout and you think physical activity, but this literally is brain exercise.
Really?
So there's just,
we want people
to go and find where they're at and what their interests are and what might help them to the next step of whatever their goals might be.
As far as teaching just these skills early, I know that that does matter. What is your take on that as far as like what you all do with the 4-H program and learning by doing?
Yep, absolutely. We, like I said, we talk about the lifespan, right? We go through transitions, and we know with youth at different ages and stages, they understand different things. So some of our program, let's just talk financial literacy.
Okay.
We can teach preschoolers about that. And we think, oh, this is a formal topic, but it might literally be reading some books, playing some games, talking about needs and wants and sharing. Yes. It's building some of those steps for future lessons. And then certainly grade school and older, they're starting to do the math and the numbers, and you know, can maybe start even some concepts of like what's something you might want to buy and what might you need to save up for.
Yes.
And then there's a really neat program that 4-H and Family Consumer Sciences partner on. It's called Real Money, Real World. And back to your example of, you know, that hands-on and that doing, this we do in partnership with high schools. So the students are getting their financial literacy class, but this has a little bit of classwork that we're talking about. What's it look like in adult life to get that paycheck, to have those taxes come out, to decide what you're putting into savings? And then at the end of this, they go to a simulation that it's called the Real Money, Real World Simulation.
Wow.
And they have their career, they have their net worth, and they have a fictional family that they're 27 years old, and they have another adult spouse, and they have children, and they have to go pay all their bills for the month.
Oh my God, that's
so
amazing.
It's practicing that, right?
Yes.
And then that reflection afterwards. What surprised you? What did you learn? What might you do in the future? What might you thank your parents for today?
Yes, I was just going to say, I can only imagine how that opens up the conversation around the dinner table.
Right.
Yeah, wow. And then takes the stigma away. Yeah.
Right. And I was going to say, sometimes when we talk about adult education, like you said, kind of that stigma or that privacy, right? We're not talking our actual monetary value here, but if there are best practices for people to help make decisions about their own income and expenses, we want them to take that education and put their data to it. Use your information to make those best choices for yourself and your household.
Oh, wow. Yes, that's very powerful. Oh, my goodness. Wow. I'm sorry. I just...
Well, we want people to feel successful and be successful, right?
Yes, it's so important. It truly is. So now I do want to ask, if someone is listening and they just really want to strengthen their household starting this month, what would you recommend? I know there's so many programs. What would you really recommend?
Well, my recommendation would be see what educational classes are happening, but also, you know, get out and see not just what Extension is doing, but what's going on in the community, because we partner with so many organizations. So
okay.
We want people to have the hands-on skills as well as the knowledge to back that up. So those might be, you know, kickoff for the gardening season. There'll be Master Gardener volunteers out in the community. It might be those education classes that are already happening at community partner sites. Or if for some people, if it's easiest, you know, those online opportunities that you can do at your own time from your own space.
Yes. Now, what have you found with the gardening? I'm just curious, like, what experience do people receive from that?
When we talk about gardening, we might be working with community gardeners or backyard gardeners, or it might be a site that is growing a garden and the food's being donated to like a food pantry. Mm-hmm. It might be a site that has kids during the summer so the kids get to learn.
Okay.
So there's so many different reasons, one, to garden, and two, so many advantages we can get from gardening. And then to tie that in, you know, people might have questions about gardening if they've never done it before. We want to help and coach with that. And then at the other end, especially if you're doing vegetables, you have this brand new produce. What are you going to do with it? So we help there with those lessons on here's some great recipes for eating more vegetables.
Aww.
Or you grew so much in your garden that you have an overflow. Would you like to freeze it or can it? What would you like to do with that and would work best in your kitchen?
Wow, that is so organic and so helpful. I mean, I love the real life helpful tips that make a difference today. So thank you for that. Now, do you believe self-sufficiency is the new wealth?
I think that is a great description.
Yeah.
And I think it's a little bit of a paradox, right?
Yes.
So self-sufficiency, absolutely, if we're talking about, you know, self-determination or individuals and families like looking at their goals and values and setting their own goals and putting a plan in place, I think that is of great value and wealth. In addition, we want a healthy interdependency between, you know, those healthy relationships in the home, those healthy relationships with our communities, whether it's the schools, our libraries, our,
yes,
our home of worship. We want a healthy interdependence. So yes to being wealthy.
Yes, I love that. And that's so important because we really don't think about each relationship and how much work and time it's supposed to take. Honestly, we're supposed to take that time to, you know, learn the person that you are with or your organization or your job or, you know, your life skill, whatever your passion is. So thank y'all for doing that work. A lot of people don't think about that.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for coming today. We'll be right back with a moment of truth. Welcome back to A Moment of Truth. I'm Asia Nail, and now we are stepping into a conversation many people avoid, but every adult needs to have. Let me ask you, when was the last time you thought about what happens to your stuff after you're gone? Don't worry, we're not trying to scare you yet. My grandma would say, honey, you can't take it with you, but you sure can make it easy on folks. What happens to your family, your finances, your wishes if something happens? So joining us today is Deborah Barnett, founder of Getting Your Affairs in Order. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I know your work focuses on helping women and men take control of their legacy before crisis forces the conversation. So please tell us more about yourself and about Getting Your Affairs in Order.
Well, I am a retired bank executive from the Huntington Bank and very active in the community. So upon retirement, I said, how am I going to use my experience with the bank, my finance background, and then my network throughout the community? And I did many things before you get an assignment. So God provided me this vision of talking to people about getting their affairs in order, because I went through some personal things. Some of my friends went through some personal things. And so I met with a group of people and I said, do you think we can really get together and inform the community to help them get better prepared for life-changing situations? And a will is not always the way, because you would talk to people and they would say, oh, I got a will because I don't want to talk about it, so I got a will. But we would say, what other things do you have in place? Your bank account. You know, there's certain ways that you can set up your bank account. There are certain ways of exploring insurance opportunities. There's certain ways that you can make things easier as life changes through your lifetime. So we got together and we planned these workshops around getting your affairs in order. We invited industry experts to come in and speak on the different topics, and it was well received by the community. Partner with Area Office on Aging and the Toledo Lucas County Public Library, and they thought it was a great idea. And so in 2024, we started putting on these workshops and informing people, well, helping people to become better informed, because everybody's situation is different.
Yes, yes.
You know, what one shoe doesn't fit everybody.
That's right, yes.
So we invited, and so we were going to be pleased if we got 100 people there. And each, we did one a quarter in 2024. And each workshop, the numbers increased. So last year in 2024, I told my very small, efficient committee, I said, I can't do four. That was just so much work. And so we said we would do two.
Okay.
Well, then a group of women gathered around me at a function and they says, can't you do one just for women? So it has been heartwarming, but informative to people. There's many, many estate planning workshops at our fingertips out in the community. I mean, they're on Facebook, they're on, people promote them all the time. I think our hook has been getting your affairs in order, because as we have talked to some of our attendees at the workshops, they didn't think they had an estate. They didn't understand that their house and their bank accounts and their cars, that's all a part of their estate. That's all a part of their legacy.
Yes, true. Yes.
So you need to be better prepared. You need to help your children be better prepared to manage through life-changing situations. I like to say that.
Yes.
Life-changing situations. I mean, we get married, we get divorced.
Nothing's for sure, but change.
So as life changes, you want to be better prepared.
Yes.
And so it helps things run smoothly. As I was talking to people in the lobby, and they say, well, I said, life changes. And so you've got to be ready for those changes. And it just helps your family. Reverend Barbie Harrison, who's on the committee, she talks about how do you talk to your loved ones at the workshops.
Yeah, I feel like people truly, like, why does this topic create so much resistance in your opinion? Why is there so much fear? And is it culture? Is it misinformation? Why are people so afraid of the topic?
I think it's all of it.
Yeah.
And my bank experience, back when I was a banking office manager and people would come in and we set up their account or we'd try to sell them life insurance on that particular loan they would get. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about that. I won't be here, so I don't care what happens because I won't be here. And they think if they make certain decisions around getting a will or something like that, they think that then gives them an expiration date. Mm. You'd be surprised. Just recently, I was very surprised. I was watching TV. I like Deion Sanders. And so he just had a health situation.
Okay.
And Michael Strahan asked him, what fear did you have going through that, Deion? And he said, it wasn't going through the surgery. It was that I had to now sit down and have a will made up. Mm-hmm. I says, Deion Sanders didn't have a will with all of the stuff that he had? But it's that fear.
Yeah.
We think that people of status, celebrities, they have that same fear that other people
too.
Have. Uh-huh, that they've not done those things. Mm-hmm. And we expect that they have done them because they have so much.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I find in my personal life that it seems like when people do get older and they finally maybe settle into the idea that, you know, their next journey will come sooner than later. Mm-hmm. And that's when, for me, they were my grandparents and they just were fine with talking about it. But because I wasn't prepared, I had a hang up it takes a process. That's good that you're helping the community.
I believe that I have been given this assignment. I talked to my pastor about it. Saturday I was at an event and two young women came up and they saw my sign and they were like, they looked at each other and they said, you know, we ought to be at this workshop. Because what happens to my kids if something happens to me?
That's right.
I haven't left any instructions.
You're so
right. I believe that we were, those of us that have been in, on this journey with me, which is Reverend Barbie Harris, Gwen Wise, Joanne Menifee, Celeste Taylor, we have been on this journey and people are, I believe, really receiving this information and taking time to think about, I really do need to get my affairs in order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at any age, it's a very good thing to remove that stigma from yourself. Yes. Now, what do you think is the biggest misconception about estate planning? Like, I know you had said earlier that maybe having a will is the best option. Maybe you need other things. What are your feelings on that?
It's an overwhelming experience.
Yeah.
I think it's just overwhelming to think about it. And so we have put together, we know that people's attention spans is extremely, so we have speakers speak so they can just think about it. And then they like, yeah, I really don't have anybody on my account. So if I don't have anybody on my account and something happens to me, no one has access to that account. And if I seem to pass away, then that account gets locked down until it goes through probate.
Yeah, that's good because it's like they're really providing scenarios.
Yes.
Like as a writer, I have to write metaphors so that people can understand and relate and put themselves in that situation.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's very helpful that you take it because it's stressful.
Yeah,
it can be.
It's stressful. One of the things I did recently, since I have become the Getting Your Affairs in Order person, I get calls, I get stopped in the community about different things I have to share with people. I am not an attorney.
I understand that, yes. This is for general purposes.
Yes. And so, but I think it's just overwhelming to think about, and I have had many people, I tell them a little bit about it, especially the banking. And they have nobody on those accounts.
Yeah.
Even payable on death. You know, appoint someone that received those funds in the event so it doesn't have to go through probate. We had Judge Puffenberger was at our workshop last April. He delivered.
He's the probate
judge.
Okay.
And he delivered the welcome. And part of his message was, you need to listen to what these people have to say.
Yes.
And then you don't have to end up sitting in front of me.
Yeah, amen. I understand that. Absolutely.
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
It can be a lot at one time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Walk us through the bare minimum survival kit. Like, what do you recommend? in general, not as an official capacity. Okay. But
well, as I said, everybody's situation is different. So it's everybody needs a banking relationship.
Yes.
You know, so how do you have that banking relationship set up? Everybody needs life insurance. Mm-hmm. You know, I've heard that, you know, GoFundMe's is not life insurance.
Yeah.
Okay. That is. And then a will. You really do need to leave instructions to your family about how they honor your legacy.
Yes, that's a really good yes, way of looking at that.
You have everybody has a legacy, and every legacy needs a plan. You shouldn't leave that up to somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know, we when someone passes away, that's an emotional time.
It is.
So you've got to plan a service. You got to write an obituary. It's a lot of things that you have to do. So if some of that is already done, mm-hmm. it helps the family go through that grieving process a little easier.
And I get that because it's almost twofold. Like our elders don't want to feel like they're burdening us mm-hmm. when they may need help. They may need someone to be looking over that account, mm-hmm. making sure that, mm-hmm. like you said, they have some kind of autonomy to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, that's
well,
terrible
with,
to do
with
it all
of,
alone.
With all of the scams, because we have bankers come in and talk about these scams that's going on.
Yeah.
We have bankers come in and talk about that. And so some of the banks have established, you're not a part of that account, but you have access to look over, help a senior look over their account. So if any kind of stuff is going on, you can alert them.
Yes.
So their monies. I mean, it's heartbreaking to hear about some of the stories of people who are being scammed because nobody else is looking at that account to help someone identify this is really not a legitimate transaction on your bank account.
No, that is so true. And it's not a burden, not to us, at least us mature adults. It's very helpful. If we need our elders to know that we want to
yes,
be there
without
to
a doubt.
Help. Yes.
Yes.
What changes when people talk between themselves about legacy and protection? Like, really, my question was about women, because I know that you had one event that was geared towards women. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like anything changed when women talked to women?
Yes, we created a safe space.
Yeah. Yeah.
We created a safe space for women to come to feel comfortable enough to ask questions about different situations they encounter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, second marriages.
Yes.
You know, how do I put things in place? You know, it's people you hear a lot about prenuptials. And people don't want to talk about that. They don't want to enter into that because they believe that you don't love me as much because you want to put something legal in place.
Love and money are separate.
So we created that space to allow them to ask those kind of questions and get recommendations on how they needed to set up things and how they needed to look at things and review. When you enter into a different partnership, I'll call it,
mm-hmm.
and people, and I hear, I get these stories through Facebook, and people assume that people will go ahead and change some things, and then something like one of life situations happened, and what the intent was never got taken care of.
Yeah.
So it just creates a lot of unnecessary feelings, I'll call it, rather than to go ahead and make sure that that person's intent, that they really take the time to make sure that that is put in place.
Yes.
Like
yes.
Adding me to your accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least making me power of attorney of the account. So in the event, if there's some kind of illness and I need to help you work through that, I have access.
No, it makes complete sense to me. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's very important. And I truly hope that our listeners, I know you're bringing a lot of value. So I truly hope that they will partake in your next event. All right. So, I mean, really, sometimes we just need to sip our tea and spill the estate planning tea at the same time, right?
Yes.
Yes, we need to talk to each other and absolutely not be afraid of these types of scenarios. I've been there. I lost my father last year, my grandparents. Mm-hmm. It is not a game. And I do remember when all of them even were alive saying, trust me, you don't want people fighting over these casserole dishes. Let's go on ahead and get this taken care of, right?
Yes, yes.
Well, now, if listeners remember one thing from today, what's the one document that every adult should know where it is?
I think there's a portfolio of documents that you should have, and somebody should know where they are. We didn't cover this.
That's
but
okay.
this has come up over the series of workshops, because we all, in this digital world that we live in, we need people's passcodes.
Yeah,
if something happens, I heard a story. I listened to these reels of this young lady, and she said a young man had a digital business that was lucrative. Everything was in the cloud.
Oh, my God.
You know? And he passed away.
Oh, goodness. Oh, my
goodness. And no one had instructions on how to get it out of the cloud, and nobody had any passcodes. So guess what?
It's in the cloud. Oh, my goodness. And everything's so encrypted, it's just not, yeah.
Exactly. So I think that people should, and it takes time. It really takes time, but people should know where things are so they don't tear your house apart if they need to. They've got those kind of stories where people are just going, they've got stacks of paper and they're trying to, they're mourning, but they're trying to do the necessary things that they need to do. So I would say just be organized. There's lots of different portfolios that you can organize. You put your will in there, you put your power of attorneys, mm-hmm. you put your living will instructions, that's all in a portfolio, and you let someone that you trust know where that is so they can assist you in the manner that they need to.
And a fireproof situation too,
yes,
right? A nice
without
fireproof
a doubt.
Box.
Without a doubt.
Yes, I've learned a couple of things.
Okay.
But I truly think that is a mic drop moment. I can't drop this mic, but I think that you genuinely help thousands, if not millions of people with that information right there. With the passwords, I haven't heard that. That is very important.
Well, we have all of these apps on our phones. You know, our My Charts are, have access. And so when somebody needs to help you, where's those passcodes? And then I have had people tell me, well, the passcodes are in the phone, in that passcode app that's on your phone. I have a book at home that my children know where that is.
Well, I think I'm going to have myself a book too. Well, thank you so much for coming today and for sharing your wisdom with us.
Well, thank you for having me. And you asked me, what would I leave you with and your listeners? Everyone don't have everything, but everyone has something.
Mm.
Your legacy deserves a plan, and you have to plan your legacy. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you. We'll be right back. Welcome back to A Moment of Truth. I'm Asia Nail. Now, let's be honest, many families are just one unexpected bill away from crisis. A car repair, a medical expense, a job interruption, and suddenly stability feels fragile. So joining us today is Cynthia Savage, CEO of Pathway Incorporated, a community action agency serving Lucas County families in real time and when you need it most. Thank you so much for coming and being with us here today.
Thank you, Asia. It's a pleasure. Look forward to our conversation today.
Absolutely. Me too. Now, what is Pathway Incorporated and who do you serve in Lucas County?
Pathway Inc. or Incorporated is the designated community action agency for Lucas County. We have been serving the community since 1965, so we just at 61 years, along with community action agencies across the country that do the work that we are doing here in Lucas County. And we are responsible for helping those that are in need. We are one of over 1,000 community action agencies across the nation and over 48 within the state of Ohio. Oh, and our responsibility is to ensure that we are addressing the needs of those that are impoverished. I recently attended a national conference and it was stated that we are the only organization in the country that is designated to address poverty. And I know we have many other organizations. We work with our partners very closely, but that's a distinction for who we are and what we do. And we're very proud to be a part of that network.
That's a big distinction. Wow. Thank you so much for all of your service. Goodness. Now, I do want to know, do you feel that most families are just one unexpected bill away from crisis? Is that common? Is that becoming more common?
Yes, it is. I think that not just families, but individuals could have any number of crises that come up. It can be as something as simple as getting a flat tire or having to get major repairs done to your vehicle. And those things stop you from being able to get other things accomplished. For our seniors that are truly on fixed incomes with their Social Security or their pensions, if they have medication that costs more than it normally does, if they are adding new medication, then they may have to decide, do I pay my rent? Do I get my medication? Mm-hmm. And how am I going to eat? So those are all things that factor into what we look at as a crisis. Yeah. What may be some small for someone else may be something that could be detrimental to their household or to them for a very long time. Yeah. So, yes, I think all of those things that you mentioned, the car, medical, you could have an illness. And yes, if you're an hourly wage person and you have to call off on a number of occasions, you may not have sick time, so you don't get paid for that. And what if they terminate you because you haven't been there, and then you're starting all over again? So a lot of clients that we have, and a lot of people just in general who aren't even serving, are just one incident away. We all are, because yeah, we don't know what today or tomorrow brings for us.
Yes. What do you believe? Like, why do people often wait until, even myself, I have been guilty of this. Why do we wait until it becomes urgent before we really ask for help?
I think we all do that in some way. Part of it, I think, is pride. I have talked to a number of clients over the years, and they will tell us, I don't need your services. I'll be fine. I'll figure it out. Let someone else who has a greater need than I do right now, let them take what you're offering to me. And we're trying to get everyone to understand that if it's available and you qualify, we're here to help you. Yeah. So I think pride has a lot to do with it. I think shame comes into it, because I can't believe that this has happened to me. How did I allow this situation to get this far or this large? And then sometimes it's just thinking that you can fix it yourself. We try to fix a lot of things on our own. I have a saying that there are people for everything. There is someone that is there for just about everything that you need on this planet that we walk across. And so once you can either swallow your pride, admit where you are, accept it, and just walk through our doors or reach out to us, we're there to help.
Yeah, no, that's really good for all of us to put ourselves in check. We need help sometimes, right?
We do. All of us do.
Yes.
And it may not always be financial, but sometimes you just need someone else to be there with you and for you.
We are all human.
We are.
Now walk us through, what happens when someone calls Pathway?
Is this a trick question?
I know.
I read that and I said, oh, they went there with call pathway. Well,
or when they come.
When they come. We're going to address something, if that's okay.
Sure.
Something that we hear and have heard forever and a day is that I try calling your agency and I can never get through.
Y'all are busy.
We have one receptionist.
Okay.
One phone number.
Mm-hmm.
And since November, I had some data pulled just about a week ago. So from November till up until last week, we've had over 60,000 incoming calls.
Oh, whoo, whoo. That's only, you know, just a few.
And it's not 60,000 people calling. It's probably a percentage of that, okay, I didn't get anyone, so I'm going to call and I'm going to hang up and I'm going to call and I'm going to hang up.
Yes.
And I answer the phone sometimes, even on a cell phone, and someone will say, oh, thank God. I need to talk to a live human. I need to talk to a person. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure I am and I can help you. And they're just ecstatic because it's so difficult to reach us. It just is. And
it's
that's the reality.
To reach anyone
it is.
These
and that's
days.
Our reality. Yes. And with more and more people in need, that means that there are more and more people that are trying to contact our agency. Mm. But there are other ways that you can reach us. And I'd love to share that with you.
Yes, absolutely.
So you can call us. That's the first. That's the natural thing to do. You can email us. Okay. We have three different email addresses that you can contact us at. There is info@pathwaytoledo.org or .org. There is our HEAP department. It is HEAP, S-M, so H-E-A-P, the letter S, the letter M, @pathwaytoledo.org. And there's resources with an S @pathwaytoledo.org. You can also go through our website, look at the information that you have, or you're more than welcome to come into the agency.
Yes, and now the agency is the Hamilton Building, correct?
That is correct, yes. Okay. So most people that are going to listen to this, if anyone listens, hope you are, that we are formerly known as EOPA.
Okay.
And or the Hamilton Building. So when I say, someone says, baby, where are you working now? And I say, oh, I'm at Pathway. And they're like, Pathway? Okay. They have no idea what I'm saying.
Okay.
And then I go into EOPA. Do you remember EOPA? Yes. We're at the Hamilton Building. Oh, I'm like, we rebranded years ago. The name changed over a decade ago. And still in our community, the reverence and the respect that is held and the wonderful memories of support that people have gotten from EOPA that carries to this day. And so we honor that. And
absolutely.
I am not ashamed to say we are formerly known as EOPA. But I'm also equally as proud to say that we are Pathway. And this is who we are at this point in juncture with our agency.
I love that you remember to tell people that, because we have to bridge those gaps. And since we do suffer from pride, a lot of times somebody will tell you something and then you just act like you know.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, okay, but you have no idea and you may be missing the help that you need.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, and we want people to be able, with another number of other organizations that have a similar name, we always try to distinguish ourselves. We're not Pathways with an S. We're not Pathway Toledo. We are Pathway Inc. And, you know, but whatever you call us, we're gonna serve you. But it's just a great way to make people aware of who we truly are and make that connection to who we were for almost 50 years, I believe.
Yeah, that makes all the difference. Trust, yes. Then you don't have to rebuild. They already have trust. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes, that foundation is definitely there.
What do you feel is the biggest misconception about community action agencies? Like, is poverty always about money or sometimes about access and information?
I think that spans a lot farther beyond just community action agencies, because, again, we have so many wonderful partners in the community that are doing the work.
Yeah.
And so there are times that if there's a resource that we aren't able to fulfill for a client, we reach out to them. So I think the misconception sometimes can be that they just don't know what we do beyond the general services.
Okay.
HEAP is our number one draw. Most people that come to our agency or walk through the doors or try to call us 1,000 times in a day are calling for that HEAP service.
Okay.
And so that is one of our longest standing programs. And we have a number of other programs, and I'm sure we'll talk about that. But once they understand, and our case managers and our other staff, our EARs and staff members are now being very conscious about looking at the clients beyond just their initial request for service.
Okay.
And so the goal is to strengthen or continue to strengthen, because we have a very robust in-house referral system, but strengthen that so that once you leave, you're not just leaving with that one problem. Because if you haven't paid your light bill since June, there are a lot of other underlying yes. problems that we probably can help you with. And so once our EARs or case managers or the receptionist or whoever has initial contact, they make that distinction and they say, okay, this mom has three young children. We have a program for that. She's unemployed right now, or she's just getting started. We have a program for that. So if, like Elizabeth Warren, we have a plan for that. We have a program or a partner for just about everything. But that misconception is that you come in, you get your one service and you're done, and you're still in the same situation that you were in. You just got a Band-Aid put over it. And our goal is to heal that wound or whatever is happening so that you no longer need our services. Because with the economy changing the way that it is, we're going to have a whole new group of people that are going to be coming through our doors or reaching out to us, like during COVID with rental assistance. And we want to be able to ensure that the time is available for our staff, the resources are available, and we're not pushing anyone out, but we're giving you a hand up so that you can move forward with your life and tell other people about the services that have been provided for you at Pathway.
Yeah, that makes a big difference to know that you have multiple things. I really didn't realize that. I also mostly thought it was just HEAP. Truly, if I'm being honest, thank you for explaining that.
That is okay.
Are there any other specific programs that you want to talk about?
So we have a senior emergency home repair program
okay.
for those that are located within the city of Toledo, and they're residents either at the age of 62 or older or permanently disabled. So okay. if you have that distinction of being permanently disabled and receive funding for that, funds for it or money for it from the government, then you qualify potentially for our services. Okay. There are income restrictions for just about everything that we do. But again, we don't want you to not come to us
yes.
because of that. If we can find a way, if you qualify, we're going to get you the help, or we're going to try to refer you to someone else. So that is a wonderful program. And right now we're focused on the Junction neighborhood as our NERSA.
Okay.
And so we have the city of Toledo that we have funding for, as well as that neighborhood. And so we are working to ensure that our seniors have they can remain independently housed and live where they've been and not have to be uprooted. We have our Department of Community Resources, which provides assistance with emergency housing dollars if and when they are available.
Yes.
Okay. we have, we help with utilities, you know, through HEAP. We have a program dedicated to seniors, a senior assistance program.
Okay.
And about a year ago, we did a nutrition, we did a pilot with the University of Toledo and Greater United Way of Greater Toledo. It was wonderful. And it was a food recovery program.
Ooh.
And so we have picked that back up, and we're really proud of the work that the team is doing to get nutritious food to those that are in need. We partner with the Grand Lodge Food Pantry as well to ensure that folks are getting nutritious food or just what they need in terms of access to food. Because a lot of times, again, that's the decision. Do I get food or do I take care of my medication or my rent for the month or my utilities that have increased?
Yeah.
And then another program, we have our Family and Supportive Services Department. And most people understand and know that by Brothers United or BU.
Okay,
So you'll see the billboards everywhere. And that team does an amazing job at helping strengthen families. And they do a phenomenal job at boots on the ground.
Yes.
And I'm so proud of the team and the work that they're doing. We just received a federal grant for that. And so we're one of two. And congratulations also to the Zeph Center. They are the other Lucas County partner that has received this funding. So we're going to be strengthening families at an even larger rate now with this funding, and it's renewable for 5 years. And so we're really thrilled. We had the grant some years ago, and it's now since been awarded to us again. And so we're really excited about that work. And I'm really proud of the team that we have in place right now and the work that they're going to be doing. And lastly, I will share about what we call our paid team, and that is the Department of Employment and Career Services. We are one of of, I believe, 11 designated financial opportunity centers, and we partner with LISC. And so we are able to help individuals, and that's some of the things that we'll probably be talking about. Some ways to build people up and give them some stability is education, through education. Mm-hmm. So if we can set you up with learning how to budget, if we can help you learn how to save, if we can help you with credit, all those things that are barriers and stop you dead in your tracks from moving forward and building what could be a thriving lifestyle, that's a wonderful group that does that. The team is phenomenal in what they do. They are tiny but mighty, and they are helping families and individuals with employment and resume building, job searching. And so those services are also available at the agency.
Okay.
I think I covered them all, but.
You did a phenomenal job. I'm just learning everything today. I'm loving this. My last question for you is, what's one simple step that a family can take today to move from surviving to truly thriving?
Number one, they can contact Pathway. Number two, we encourage you to trust and work with our case managers and our staff to be able to hold your hand in that moment and tell you that everything's going to be okay, and then get you through to the next step. Sometimes you just need a little hope and a little encouragement or an advocate. And we could talk about this for hours in terms of what the steps are, but those are just two of the things. And then also having that financial literacy or getting to employment stability so that you can earn higher wages. You know, unfortunately, we are in a state where, you know, 70 cents an hour, that was the increase for minimum wage. So if you're at minimum wage, you're still, you know, kind of behind. And so getting folks trained and giving them new skill sets, but building that confidence in them, I think, is one of the most important things, and letting them know that this could be temporary. If you just trust us and allow us to work with you and you do the work that's necessary, we can't want things more than you do.
True.
And so allowing them to believe in themselves and building them up, and then giving them the tools that they need, I think, is one of the most important things that we could do to, again, move folks from survival to thriving.
So thank you so much for taking the time to
speak
with us today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on A Moment of Truth.
The Local Thread is a production of WGTE Public Media. Episodes can be heard weeknights at 7 on FM 91 or anytime at WGTE.org.
The views and opinions expressed in The Local Thread are those of the hosts of the program and its guests. They do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of WGTE Public Media.